I removed the chairman's handkerchief from my sleeve, for I'd taken it to bed that evening to comfort myself one last time. I dried my face with it and held it up into the wind. I was about to let it dance away into the darkness when I thought of the tiny mortuary tablets that Mr. Tanaka had sent me so many years earlier. We must always keep something to remember those who have left us. The mortuary tablets back in the Okia were all that remained of my childhood. The chairman's handkerchief would be what remained of the rest of my life. Back in Kyoto, I was carried along in a current of activity over the next few days. I had no choice but to put on my makeup as usual and attend engagements at the tea houses, just as though nothing had changed in the world. I kept reminding myself that Mameha had once told me that there was nothing like work for getting over disappointment, but my work didn't seem to help me in any way. Every time I went into the Ichiriki tea house, I was reminded that one day soon, Nobu would summon me there to tell me the arrangements had been settled at last. Considering how busy he'd been over the past few months, I didn't expect to hear from him for some time, a week or two perhaps. But on Wednesday morning, 3 days after our return from Amami, I received word that Iwamura Electric had telephoned the Ichiriki tea house to request my presence that evening. I dressed late in the afternoon in a yellow kimono of silk gauze with a green underrobe and a deep blue obi interwoven with gold threads. Auntie assured me I looked lovely, but when I saw myself in the mirror, I seemed like a woman defeated. I'd certainly experienced moments in the past when I felt displeased with the way I looked before setting out from the Okia, but most often I managed to find at least one feature I could make use of during the course of the evening. A certain persimmon-colored underrobe, for example, always brought out the blue in my eyes, rather than the gray, no matter how exhausted I felt. But this evening, my face seemed utterly hollow beneath my cheekbones, although I'd put on Western-style makeup just as I usually did, and even my hairstyle seemed lopsided to me. I couldn't think of any way to improve my appearance other than asking Mr. Beku to retie my obi just a finger's width higher to take away some of my downcast look. My first engagement was a banquet given by an American colonel to honor the new governor of Kyoto Prefecture. It was held at the former estate of the Sumitomo family, which was now the headquarters of the American Army's 7th Division. I was amazed to see that so many of the beautiful stones in the garden were painted white, and signs in English, which of course I couldn't read, were tacked to the trees here and there. After the party was over, I made my way to the Ichiriki and was shown upstairs by a maid to the same peculiar little room where Nobu had met with me on the night Gion was closing. This was the very spot where I'd learned about the haven he'd found to keep me safe from the war. It seemed entirely appropriate that we should meet in this same room to celebrate his becoming my Donna, though it would be anything but a celebration for me. I knelt at one end of the table so that Nobu would sit facing the alcove. I was careful to position myself so he could pour sake using his one arm without the table in his way. He would certainly want to pour a cup for me after telling me the arrangements had been finalized. It would be a fine night for Nobu. I would do my best not to spoil it.